And now, here's another repeated item from one of our most prolific contributors in the past, Sylvia Pryor, who sadly died at the end of last year. This is a piece recorded in 2014 about some very famous visitors to Halifax in years gone by.
Hello, Sylvia here. Halifax, as you may know, once had the world's largest carpet factory and became such an important town, it almost had city status. I'd like to tell you about some of the famous people who visited it over the years, and perhaps some of your ancestors saw some of these events mentioned. In October 1903, the Congress of Rough Riders of the World, also known as Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show, came to Halifax whilst on a world tour, and probably wished they hadn't. Three special trains brought horses and performers to Pelham Station, from where a bedraggled troop made their way to Skirkot Moor in pouring rain. And on the sodden moor, American cowboys, Mexican rough riders, Cossacks, Arabs, and Indians with their mounts struck camp. Although the perpetual rain turned the ground into a quagmire, large crowds attended the two performances, which were lit by two powerful searchlights, which were not enough to counteract the heavy mist rising from the drenched ground, and made for a weird effect in the night performance, during which the performers reenacted emigrant trains crossing the plains, an attack on the settlers' camp, and the dramatic repulse of the attackers by a posse of soldiers. The bivouacs and campfires gave a fascinating realism to the events, and the war dance, the Indians, was pronounced exciting in its novelty. In the days before television and films, it must have been a hugely memorable experience for those spectators who braved the weather. Another performer whose name we're still familiar with was Blondin. In 1861, the year after he astounded the world by not only walking a rope stretched over Niagara Falls, but he was blindfold carrying a man and enveloped in a sack. Blondin came to Halifax, but where could he perform? His rope was stretched from opposite corners of the Peace Hall, 60 feet above the ground and 300 feet long. Blondin firstly walked slowly onto the rope, balancing a pole, and described as, "with the ease and grace of a dancing master." He then suddenly broke into a run and just as suddenly stopped, sat down on the rope, where he lay on his back, somersaulted, swam, hung by his hands and legs, and then stood on his head, beating time with his upraised legs to the music of the Black Dyke Mills Band. He then retrieved his pole and ran to the opposite platform. Next, he walked the rope blindfolded and in a sack, repeatedly pretending to miss his footing. His final trick was more hazardous still, as Blondin appeared on the rope, carrying a man strapped to his shoulders. He did not play around on this trip and got to his platform as quickly as possible. Amazingly enough, almost 100 years earlier, a man called Samuel Saunders came to Halifax for the fair of 1766 and performed wire walking and balancing exploits in the White Lion coaching inn yard, which stood at the end of Silver Street. He drove a child in a wheelbarrow on the wire in full swing, stood on his head on the foot of a drinking glass without holding with his hands, and at the same time discharged a brace of pistols, the wire still being in full swing. He also stood on his head on the point of a sword, upon the wire in full swing without holding with his hands. I'm not too sure how he managed the point of the sword bit, but what with that, the child in the wheelbarrow, and discharging pistols, it was lucky for his act that health and safety wasn't around at that time. Another attraction in Halifax in 1902 was Houdini, described as the famous American jailbreaker and handcuff king of the world. He had defied efforts of many police forces, including Scotland Yard, to keep him securely handcuffed, so it was no great surprise that he extricated himself after being supposedly securely handcuffed by Halifax police officers. The military brought items from their collection up at the barracks, and the police produced more, all to no avail. He got out of a straitjacket and escaped from whatever iron, steel, rope or wooden apparatus that he was fastened to. A month later, he did a show and was locked into a packing case, especially made by a local contractor, the rule being that he had to get himself out without damaging the case or the rope that bound it. For 22 minutes, the audience held its breath, and then he appeared to resounding cheers. Well, I shall look out for more interesting events that happened in the Calder Valley. Until then, bye for now, Sylvia.